Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome in on a Friday night. Willie P is in the building, in for John Chuckery on the night show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and also streaming on the radio.com app. John out tonight. I don't know how much of this he has put out there in the ether. I don't want to spread the man's business. According to producer Ken Roundtree, he has told the world about his struggles with the kidney stones, and he, let's just say, is in pain right now. We're feeling for him, and hopefully he's back in short order here with that issue. But we'll keep you entertained through the next couple of hours on the evening. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with us. You can also tweet me, Willie P, at Willie P Style. That's IEP Style. The radio station is also at 929 The Game on Facebook, Twitter, as well as Instagram. The show today will go a variety of different ways for me, because there's a lot of kind of crossover type things that I think have a lot to do with each other, including this mess that's going on with the NFL and the NFL Players Association and the CBA discussions. That discussion sounds a lot like something else that's happening on the college level, and I'll try to equate the two in a way that I think is more relatable to you, the fan. And I'll do that over the course of our time here tonight. We'll also talk a little Falcons offseason. The NFL Combine is this upcoming week. It's hard to believe that we've already made it to this point of the offseason where we're now starting to get more people involved with these breakdowns of players. A lot of the names that have been thrown around have kind of become household names for you. The guys like A.J. Epenesa, the kid out of Penn State, Gross Matos, and also some of the other names that are being bandied about by NFL draft prognosticators when it comes to what the Falcons are going to do at pick number 16, needing a very obvious edge rusher. But we'll start with what we saw last night in State Farm Arena. This was a night where I don't think we really knew what to expect, because the part of this that for me, as someone who's watched this team over the course of this year, comes to realize and say is that, you know, anytime the Hawks play at home against an opponent of major consequence, you can feel that extra juice in the building. And you knew it was coming last night when you had Jimmy Butler and you had the Miami Heat in town for basically a renewal of what has kind of become a little bit of a hotly contested, I don't want to call it rivalry, there's been some quarreling between Trae Young and Jimmy Butler. We remember, of course, what happened down in Miami. And the continuation of that saw Trae Young score 50 points. And I like the way that Carl put it to Ann Dukes and Bell. It's not about whether or not Trae is better than Luka, or Trae fits this city better than Luka, or that Trae is more marketable than Luka, like I've said on a couple of different shows over the course of the last couple of weeks. What needs to happen and what needs to be said is that this is the start of the future of these Atlanta Hawks. And because of that, I certainly believe that if you are like me, kind of getting in here on the ground floor with this, you're going to feel like you are heavily rewarded by what's to come for this team. It wasn't important that Trae scored 50 points solely. What was important was every single one of this young core seemed to play a starring role in last night's contest. Think about the fact that you had DeAndre Hunter hit the game-tying shot. You saw a big shot hit by Kevin Huerter late in the fourth quarter. Cam Reddish has the scoop and score. This is something that I think is more important than just Trae Young scoring his first 50-point game. You are seeing the benefit and you're seeing the come-with ability of this Hawks team when it comes to everything that's centered around their sparkling superstar. And because of that, that's what I think makes the future of this franchise so very enticing and exciting. And because of that, I think that we have to start kind of taking a little bit of mental stock about this particular game, that this might be the moment, not necessarily that they've arrived, because there's still a couple of players away. I'm not saying that anyone's going to come in here and run this table down the stretch and get them in as an 8 seed. You're still not going to have Clint Capella, I think, before maybe the start of March, if you're thinking about, you know, the timetable about him getting back on the floor. There's still not a lot that you can look at and say, oh my goodness, you know, you're going to make a run with him on the floor, and the same thing for Libisier. But because of what we saw last night, you can start to see the first fruits of the foundation that's being built by Lloyd Pierce, Travis Schlenk, and the team behind this Atlanta Hawk rebuild. Here's another thing that you have to also think about, is to think about the week and a half that Trae Young has had. I said that, you know, and I said this on Monday, I didn't mean to try and grade his weekend on a hard-to-gather curve, because I think when you look at everything that happened from the Rising Stars game to the three-point shootout to the actual game itself, I think Trae was limited by a lot of factors out of his control. I think in the Rising Stars game, you know, he had a good team around him, but you're not playing with the same kind of superstars you play in with a night-in, night-out basis. And I also think that him not playing in the fourth quarter of the All-Star game itself was a large disservice to him, and Luka for that matter as well. Three-point shootout doesn't really fit to his game. That part of it was disappointing. But all in all, a successful week for him. And this announcement of arrival on the first game after the All-Star break, I think shows Hawks fans and shows the world that you're now on the precipice of something big in the coming year, 2 years, 3 years. Here's Lloyd Pierce last night on how what he calls the core five, how important it was to have those guys all in sync down the stretch against Miami in the victory last night.
Obviously, Trae has a huge night, but DeAndre hits a big three. I thought Kevin hit a big play. Cam, what can you say about that still? When you really think about our core five, those young guys, saw a little bit of each guy make an individual play that was tremendous.
That's Lloyd Pierce last night. And Lloyd's taken some shots from fans. People are starting to wonder, okay, what is his value? Can he develop talent? I think you're seeing that now with guys like Hunter and Cam Reddish. Remember when people were talking about Cam Reddish being a bust? That was very, 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 very early on. And I said, look, this is something that's going to have to develop for Cam Reddish, because there's going to be a point where it hits him, oh man, this is my job, I have to do this. I don't think there was ever that pressure on him at Duke, which I found somewhat appalling, because you would think if there's anybody who could get you to be self-motivated, it'd be Coach K. But I don't think for somebody, and again, I'm not trying to single out Cam, but just for some people, it doesn't hit them until, oh my God, this is my livelihood. This is the thing I have to deal with on a night-in, night-out basis. And the fact that adjustment has needed to be made by Cam Reddish over the course of this season, you're starting to see the first fruits of that extra work come in. Here is Trae Young after his first 50-point game on what it meant to have the type of supporting cast he had in last night's victory over Miami.
Being able to score the way I did, but also seeing Dre and Cam step up and make big plays was a big force in the fourth.
And, of course, it sets up tomorrow night, which needs no overhyping, needs no extra motivation behind it. You have the Mavericks coming in for their only visit of the 2019-2020 season, and you have Luka Doncic on that other side. The national media is always going to hype this up as something. And granted, by extension, Hawks fans and Mavericks fans will do the same. But the biggest question mark about whether or not this trade works or not is not up to Trey and Luka. It's up to Cam Reddish. Because Cam Reddish is the other part of that trade. And if you think, and I believe that a lot of people who are reasonable think this way, that Trey and Luka not cancel each other out, but are basically on equal footing, then the equalizer, the tiebreaker on whether this trade was a success for the Atlanta Hawks is what Cam Reddish does. If Cam Reddish can become more than just a dude, if he can become a running mate, then it's one of the greatest heists that's been made on draft day history. If it's basically him turning into a dude and not necessarily somebody who can be a difference maker on a team, then you may look at it as more even than one-sided when it comes to a victory and maybe one team got fleeced or not. But if people who I talk to in the NBA, and a lot of them do, believe that Cam Reddish's ceiling is as high as it is, over the last 2.5 weeks, you've seen why. And last night, you saw why Travis Schlenk did not want to break up this young core at the trade deadline. You got pieces like Dedmon and Capella and Labissiere to supplement what you have in the core. But think about who was there on the floor last night in the final stages. It was all five of those guys. It was Collins, Herter, Reddish, Hunter, and Trey. And as a result of that, this group learned a lot in one victory. Yes, it's only win number 16. No, we're not taking it for anything other than it is. But if you look back and this team ends up maybe going and making a run at a championship or winning 60 games or doing something like the Hawks teams of recent lore when it comes to the top end of their particular potential, you might look back on last night and say that was the first night where it looked like it was going to work. And I think that's a good thing if you're a Hawks fan and you're here on the ground floor. And that's the other part of this is that for a team that's only won 16 games, the environment at State Farm, you can feel it. It's palpable. It's not. It doesn't sound like a building that has a team that's only won 16 games. There's excitement. There's energy. There's a thirst for something greater. And I think that's where Hawks fans are right now. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with me, Willie P. That's on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as well as the phones. I have a couple guests tonight. Speaking of the Hawks, Mike Conti is going to join us a little bit later on in the program around 8:20. Joe Patrick's going to talk to us about the Braves, who get started tomorrow. Hard to believe that we are just less than 24 hours away, really less than like 17 hours away from Braves baseball, as they play Grapefruit League action beginning tomorrow and also on Sunday. We'll get a chance to get their first look at them tomorrow with Felix Hernandez on the bump. The National Football League and its Players Association are in a bit of a mess, and there have been people who have dug their heels in on both sides. I'm going to try to convince you where I sit by something that can relate very well to where you might have eaten dinner tonight or one night this week. Willie P. is in a building, in for John Chuckery on the Night Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app. At Willie P. Styles, how you get in touch with me? In for Chuckery, we'll pull out your key with you. Willie P. in the building, also 404-741-0929. We'll read some text on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Rusty asked me if I was actually at the game last night. I was not. I'm at a point right now where, I spent a lot of shekels on the Hawks earlier in the season, but now I kind of have to spread the wealth here. Obviously get out to see the Braves a little bit. I'm going to be in, I got convinced, I got my arm twisted the other night by a buddy of mine who I used to know when I worked in South Carolina. We used to work together. He has since left radio, and he has moved to Atlanta. We're going together to the game Tuesday night up in Kennesaw. The CONCACAF Champions League second leg for United versus Motagua. I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm not looking forward to what the weather forecast says about that game Tuesday night because it's supposed to be rainy and cold. So I don't know how I got roped into that. Just kidding. I wanted to see them play. And I also love seeing that. I mean, people always talk about that the environment up there in Kennesaw being more unique, being different than being inside Mercedes-Benz. Not to knock the Benz atmosphere at all because I think they have probably the best home field advantage of anybody inside MLS as a result of that. But it is a different feel playing in the more intimate Fifth Third Bank Stadium, and we'll be very, very happy to see what happens up there, provided that Atlanta United can get that victory and advance to the next round of eight in the CONCACAF Champions League, where they more than likely will take on the team they beat for the Campeones Cup last year, Club America. But no, Rusty, I was not there last night. Guy on the text line said he's a season ticket holder, but a Trailblazers fan. He'd been waiting for the Hawks to get that superstar like Trey, and now they have. Basically, I think that he resembles a lot of Hawks season ticket holders and people who are in this town is that, you know, the one thing that I think is it's very easy to spot, you see a lot of jerseys from other places. You see a lot of fans from other places. This is a transient area. We all know this. I'm not telling you anything you all don't know. And so you want to try and rally behind the local team as much as possible, and you're now seeing the ability to buy in and feel that. And because of that, it's very much something that I think you're going to start seeing more people maybe leave their Trailblazers, Heat, Knicks jerseys at home, and maybe you start seeing more Trae Young jerseys, more Trae Young hats, shirts, and the like. And I think that'll be a big part of what happens over the course of the next couple of years with this team as they start to build more of a foundation off of what we've seen in moments and in spurts during this 2019-2020 season. Willie P here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So I'm going to give you a little confession. And if you're driving around in the car or walking down the street getting your dinner tonight, you probably go to one of those burrito joints like I do all the time. Chipotle is my favorite. Raise a show of hands, and you can nod along in your car if you want. Who has stolen guacamole from Chipotle before? Who has stolen guacamole from Chipotle before? The big thing that you always sit here and hear when you are at Chipotle, they say guacamole's extra. You usually hear it. It's kind of it guts you a little bit because you're thinking, why in the world am I paying $1.80 for guacamole? Because their guacamole is delicious. But that's something that if you make $14 an hour or $14 million a year, you are not beyond reproach if you're happy the one or two times every 10 that they forget to ring it up for you at the grocery store. Or at the grocery store, but at the cash register, I should say. That is why, if I'm somebody looking at what's going on with the NFL and the Players Association objectively, I don't fault the players for feeling like they're getting screwed a little bit here. And the biggest thing about that is that if I'm being asked to play one more game and my earnings are capped at $250,000, and I'm on the high end of the totem pole, I feel like I'm getting screwed. Now, the number of people who are getting screwed when it comes to that particular stipulation is less than those who will see a net increase, because most game checks will probably be less than that cap number. But because of that, the NFL can trot out this number. Oh, we're going to increase the amount of distribution for the players from what it has been. You as a player aren't seeing much of that money, if anything. So it's kind of like getting, you know, free guacamole. No one is going to look at that and say, oh my goodness, I wouldn't take it. But at the same time, Chipotle still makes oodles and oodles and oodles of money off of the burritos that they do sell, they do charge a guacamole for. So because of that, I personally think that if you look at this, and again, people get angry when you try to compare NFL players and what they go through to regular folks. I'm not saying that you, as somebody who is closer to the $14 an hour than you are to the $14 million a year, shouldn't have some sort of envy toward players, and your sympathy might be lacking. But who among us in our jobs takes anything that is put forth towards them and is asked to do something for free out of the goodness of their heart? It's very, very difficult sell. A lot of times you do it. Sometimes you do it with a smile on your face. But in your head, you're like, dang, this is difficult. Difficult for me to accept. So I identify with the players on that. Now, the NFL owners using a very, you know, the problem is they're winning the PR race here because their messaging is pretty consistent and easily favorable. But when you parse this down and try to divide it up and look at it, the NFL players are not necessarily looking at this and saying, oh my goodness, we have a good deal on our hands. And that's why you saw the news today where they scrapped the planned vote on the CBA and their executive committee couldn't even actually agree whether or not they actually liked the ratified thing that was proposed to them by the owners today. And the owners come out and they say, well, you know, that's the best deal you're going to get. And they started posturing and saying, well, now it looks like we're going to have a lockout because they don't agree to this deal and we're really not going to budge on all these things. This is how negotiation work. This is how negotiations work. That's how this all works. Deadlines will be spurring a lot more of the back and forth between these two sides. And you're also going to see people come out and say, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll make some more concessions here. The one thing I do think that I feel is rather inconsistent out of the owners is this extra game. And while I want to get rid of preseason games as much as possible, the fact that you're only going to lose one of these games and get an extra game on the 17-game scale is, in my mind, something that's hard to preach when you're thinking about the consistency of the league trying to say that they love player safety, when in reality they're pocketing probably more money in that 17th game than it's actually going to the players. Especially when you think about that game check being only $250,000 at the maximum. I know if I'm Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Drew Brees, I don't know how I feel about playing that 17th game. Somebody even suggested, perish the thought, load management coming to the NFL as a result of that, which to me would be a massive, I don't want to call it death knell, but would strike a lot of people and hit them the wrong way. And I had one person sit there and try and tell me, oh, well, you know, my PSL costs this and this, and my season ticket costs this and that. And I understand all that. The NFL rakes its fans over the coals on what they try to do to make you buy in to at least being an attendant and a loyal attendant at their games. But make no mistake about it, this particular deal makes them make out like bandits. And while it's hard to have sympathy for millionaires and billionaires, there are a lot of people who are on the side that's closer to you and I than closer to the high end. Because think about how many of these former NFL players are bankrupt with medical bills. I know a lot of this will sit people say, oh, well, you know, a lot of them they piss away their money and they do this and that here and there. No, it's not really at that level anymore. It's more based on the health care and the fact that they don't have much, if any, given their pensions and what is done for them after football is done. If anything, the PA should go back to the NFL and say, look, we want lifetime medical care. We want access to CBD and some of these more innovative things that helps head trauma and head injuries and injuries to chronic things like arthritis and things of that nature after football. Because as a result of that, maybe you can preach more of a consistent message if you're the NFL and say, hey, yeah, we're adding a game, but look what we're also doing for the players. If you try to preach to me, oh, well, we're going to add another game and, yeah, we're going to add all this money, but we're still going to pocket much of it. That, to me, is looked at as being, okay, the NFL is trying to strong-arm this through and hope the players don't notice. So, in my mind, it's very much like getting an extra guacamole at Chipotle. Yeah, it might be great for you in the short term. Chipotle's still making out like a bandit, as they should, because their guacamole is amazing. Mike Bell was worried that I was going to sully Chipotle's name, but I was just using it as a corollary. Ken Roundtree on the other side of the glass confirms that I have given and done them a good service. Would you agree? Good. I'm probably never going to get free guacamole there ever again now because I've said that. But, again, hand to God, you've done it too. So don't despair there. I'm talking to the honest ones out there who sit there and put that out there. Braves baseball begins tomorrow. Are the Braves trolling us by what they're doing to start off Grapefruit League play? I'll explain next. Willie P is in the building, in for John Chuckery on the Night Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P is in the building, in for John Chuckery tonight on the Night Show. John dealing with his kidney stones, which are no joke, man. I've had those happen before, and it's, God, it hurts thinking about it. So I hope John's okay. I hope he's back in short order with those, because we feel for you. Anybody who's ever had them, it's kind of one of those things. It's like a root canal, but lower, so to speak. So I don't mean to laugh, because it's not fun. Also, I very rarely delve beyond my personal, like into my personal relationships and experiences. My lady friend lives out of town. I don't talk a lot about her. I mention her on certain shows when, you know, we have rapport with guys who know her. So she does a lot of back and forth between South Carolina and here. And she's had a run of bad luck when it comes to just being on the road. Had a run-in with a cop on the way back the other night where she really didn't do anything wrong. Felt uncomfortable. And tonight she got hit by somebody at a gas station. Like, seriously? Like, can I get a break here, guys? Like, long-distance relationships suck, man. I'm telling you. Anyone who's... And worth it. Amazing woman. I'd like a run of good luck for her, please. It's like this... Because you feel helpless if you're me. Because... She sacrifices a lot to see me when she can. I try to go back when I can. It's a little bit more difficult with me working on weekends. But, man, like, ugh. It's jarring. And, again, I feel very helpless here on the air trying to deal with that. And I'm terrible. Hope that she's able to resolve it because... If what she's telling me is true, then thinking the person fled, which is not good. But if she's at a gas station, I guess they got cameras to make that happen. But we press on! Offer it up to the Lord, they say. We'll see what happens. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with us. Also on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, on Twitter at Willie P. Style, and also on Twitter with the radio station at 929 The Game. Braves baseball starts tomorrow, which... I think for everybody involved with, if you're a fan or if you've been covering this team like we have, I think you are thankful to get the games underway because if anything, the off-the-field discussion, not just with the Braves but with baseball in general, has been downright exhausting. When you think about the Astros scandal, when you think about the stuff involving Donaldson not coming here, the moves the Braves did not make, outshining the ones that they did make, and I know that the man who usually sits in this chair at this time has chronicled that ad nauseum to you, and I stand in concert with him. I don't think the Braves improved enough relative to their competitors, not just in the division but in the National League, to make me satisfied about the way that this season's going to go. Yes, it was a 97-win team this past year. Yes, you improved the bullpen. But if you look at it, the rest of the team, where are you better than you were at the end of last year? I don't know if there's an area that you are outside of the bullpen. You basically have maintained or stayed the same or gotten worse in those other areas. Yes, Acuna, Marcelo Zuna is an upgrade at left field. But is his gain worth the loss of what you lost in Josh Donaldson? And while I believe that the end result of having a platoon at third base versus a platoon in left field, while I think the end result makes you greater than now, my whole question is, why does that have to be the choice? Why couldn't it have been Marcelo Zuna and an upgrade at third base that was either Donaldson or somebody else? But again, we all know why. The one other thing that I do find interesting about tomorrow, and again, not expecting any landmark things to happen with him tomorrow, but I do believe that the Braves are kind of trolling us a little bit by starting Felix Hernandez in the Grapefruit League lid lifter. This is what he had to say about his mindset going into the 2020 season, where he's basically here as basically on a flyer, a minor league deal with an invite to Major League spring training.
My mindset, just first of all, I'm healthy and just gonna go out there and compete against anybody. Yes, for sure. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, I was gonna play in the National League. That was my mindset before last year, and I'm here.
We're gonna talk to Joe Patrick a little bit about this later on in the program, but the one thing that I'm wondering is, what are you rooting for as a Braves fan? Obviously, you want the best person there, but what are you rooting for? Are you rooting for Felix to make this rotation? Because if he does, then that's an indictment over your AAA pitching prospects like Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson and Tuki Toussaint and the rising star Ian Anderson. Again, I don't think Ian Anderson's making this club out of spring training. Let's take that out of the equation. But think about the three before that, though. Wilson, Wright, Toussaint. Wilson Wright started the 2019 season on the big league roster, and it was a disaster. Now, they could have shown some progress. They could pitch lights out in spring training and make this a tougher decision for Brian Snitker. But the one thing that I think you need to find out is, where is the value with any of those three guys? Because you can't keep them all. And if you're the Braves, you aren't in a situation where you are best served having a glut in the pitching staff right now. You have a glut at a couple positions, outfield, starting pitching, and you have needs in other areas. You need another bat. You need a frontline starter, not one of these guys who's unproven, who you're hoping becomes somebody who can be serviceable. I think the Nationals proved, and other teams have proved over the course of the last couple of years, that you still need frontline starting pitching to win and be successful in the postseason. And while I am more than overjoyed about what happened with this bullpen in the offseason and what has happened since the trade deadline of last year, while I'm happy about all of that, there are a lot of people who look at that and they say, yeah, but that's also the most volatile part of your team. Never overspend on the part of your house that's the most volatile, because you're going to have to replace it. And that's the part of it that I find most interesting about the way the Braves went about their business in the offseason. They needed to make moves, no doubt about it. But did they overcorrect in that regard? That's my biggest question. have a guy on the text line keeps calling me egghead. I don't know what that means. Do I have an egghead? Do I have, is my head shaped like an egg? I don't know. We'll come back. Big fight tomorrow night in Vegas. A particular diet change might have been the key to one of the two fighters being ready for tomorrow night in Vegas. We'll explain that coming up. Willie P is in a building in for John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.